The shorter catechism question this week is, which day of the seven hath God appointed to be the weekly Sabbath? And the answer is, from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, God appointed the seventh day of the week to be the weekly Sabbath, and the first day of the week ever since to continue to the end of the world, which is the Christian Sabbath. And this, of course, we can learn from Genesis 1 and 2, in which it was the day after the 6 days of creation, or the seventh day of creation, upon which the Lord instituted the Sabbath. The last thing that he made was not something that was of this creation, but a day in which we turn our attention from the creation to the Creator. And it's significant, I think, that that was the first Adam's first full day, being created at the end of day six, as he was. And yet it is the seventh day of the creation. And so the Creator was celebrated, worshipped. The day was consecrated for man unto God and blessed unto man in God. So the Lord himself constitutes the holiness of the day. The Lord himself constitutes the blessedness of the day. Up until the resurrection, man's life was patterned on, or had a rhythm of, 6 days laboring in and enjoying the creation, one day laboring upon and enjoying the Creator. And then when the Lord Jesus rose again from the dead and finished the time of his humiliation, remember, he finished paying for sin on the cross, but he finished the time of his humiliation when he had completed the time that he was under the power of death. And he, who is the firstborn over the creation, as the scripture says, also becomes now the firstborn from among the dead. And he is declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead, according to the Spirit, or in the Holy Spirit, as Romans 1, 3 or 4 or so tells us. And so in this declaration and display of Jesus as the last Adam, he who identified himself as the Lord of the Sabbath, the one unto whom it was consecrated as holy, the one in whom it was blessed unto us, he who had identified himself previously as Lord of the Sabbath, is now identified also as the last Adam. And so in the age in which we look back upon the redemption of Christ, we have a similar pattern. The first full day of the redemption age is another Sabbath. Now we have life according to a pattern and a rhythm of six redemption days and one Redeemer day, our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he himself made it quite plain that this first day Sabbath is the new Sabbath. Not only does the New Testament includes several statements which can accurately be translated first day of the week, but the word for week there is a Greek transliteration of the Hebrew word Sabbath. And in the genitive form, it can also mean the first day, which is the Sabbath, instead of the first day of the Sabbath, or the first day of the week. But it was on these first day Sabbaths, or these first days of the week, that the Lord Jesus appeared to, and the Holy Spirit records for us, the Lord Jesus appearing to the gatherings of his disciples. It is very significant when he is appearing out of nothing, or walking through closed and locked doors, that the Lord Jesus is gathering them to himself on the first day of the week. He tells them to wait. He's going to constitute them a new church from heaven by his Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which turns out to be the first day of the week. We find out in places like Acts chapter 20 and the gathering of the church at Troas, while Paul is hurrying back to Jerusalem, won't take a few hours' time to go inland from, well, inland and north a little bit, from Miletus to Ephesus, because of how he's hurrying. And yet, when he gets to Troas on the first day of the week, he spends the entire day in worship and preaching and teaching and the taking of the Lord's Supper with the congregation there. And at daybreak, he immediately, you know, resumes his super hurried journey to get to Jerusalem. So there's the first day of the week there. You learn from 1 Corinthians 14 that the psalm selections, the praying, the scripture selections in the public worship of the church in the apostolic period before the New Testament is completed, that is being done immediately by the Holy Spirit. Those who have gifts of the Spirit, not only selecting from Old Testament scriptures, but he who is spiritual or is a prophet was also had the duty of recognizing that Paul was writing by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit not only very kind of personally and immediately leading the Lord's Day worship of the New Testament church, but even through those who, through whom he was doing so, recognizing immediately what Paul wrote as scripture, what Luke wrote as scripture, so that Paul quotes Luke as scripture to Timothy. All that to say and to point out that the leadership of the risen Christ, the leadership of God the Holy Spirit in the New Testament church was very clear. It was not men doing according to what they thought was best. And even as we saw in Acts 15, when they reasoned under scripture in submission to the Holy Spirit. And so it's Jesus and it's the Holy Spirit who changed the day and made clear that the day had been changed from the last day of the week to the first day of the week. You will, as you delight in the Lord on his day, run into believers who not only have fleshly resistance to that, but have somehow come up with the idea that, oh, the day didn't get changed until the Council of Nicaea, and it was because Constantine wanted it, you know, more than 300 years after Christ, which is absolute nonsense when you see that the day was changed already in the Bible. For us, what does this mean? It means we do have six creation days and one creator day, but we now know our creator as our redeemer. That is the Lord Jesus who was creating all things from nothing by the word of his power in the space of 6 days and all very good. The same Lord Jesus who is now the last Adam, the firstborn of the new creation. And so what is, as it were, the first day of the week is the Redeemer Day, our triune God having come in the second person of the Trinity to save us. It's not Resurrection Day. It's the day of the resurrected one, right? The original Sabbath was not a celebration of creating or the creation. It was the celebration of the Creator. The current Sabbath is not celebration of the resurrection. It is a celebration of the Redeemer. And yes, his resurrection is part of what he has done. But it's also the day, for instance, of celebrating his birth and his humanity. The day in which we show forth the Lord's death until he comes. And he was born in order to die. People say, well, how do you celebrate Christ's birth? Well, the way Christ taught us to celebrate his birth, by celebrating him, by remembering him, by observing not a resurrection day or a birthday, but a Lord's Day. And so we celebrate his work on the cross. We celebrate even that which he is still doing by his Spirit in us. But it's more than any of his actions. The sum total of all of that is that we are celebrating him. It's the Lord's Day.